This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again, and welcome to another session here of the Armor of God. Well, as you can see, we have a little bit more of a casual approach today because we're going to take some time out, and we're going to answer some questions that have come from many of you, our viewers, which we get on occasion from time to time. I don't know how many we're going to have opportunity to go ahead and address and get into, because it'll be based on just how long it takes for us to answer some of these. But needless to say, they are interesting questions, and we hope that because they're coming in to us from many of you that are viewing the program, that you will find them interesting as well, because needless to say, as we've done programs over the years and in the past, we have found that comments coming back to us that you appreciate taking time, or us taking the time, to go ahead and address some of these questions. And so today we have a question that I wanted to start out with here at the outset of the program, to basically address this particular inquiry. And it is basically very simple, and it is, what is the reward of the saved? Now, admittedly, this question has a lot of tentacles that go out, and there's a lot of other additional subjects that you can kind of digress into, quite frankly, and be able to address, with this being the hub, so to speak, of addressing that question. But today, I'm going to try to stay very focused on just what is the reward of the saved. Because as you and I both know, so many people today simply believe, well, that's kind of a fundamental question, Bill. Pretty simple to answer, I would say, because most Christians today, as a matter of fact, most religions today believe that you're going to be rewarded with some place called heaven, some place in the ethereal other dimension where you're going to be resurrected, your immortal soul is going to waft off to this place called heaven. The Muslims have their idea, the Buddhists have theirs, and so do the Hindus. And of course, the Christian community has its idea about where the reward of the saved will be. And very simply stated, it is heaven. If you're successful in your Christian walk with Jesus Christ, most Christian denominations, most evangelical denominations in that particular portion of the Christian movement, all claim that if you're good and you make it, you make the grade, you make the cut, where you're going to end up is in heaven. And no doubt about it, heaven exists. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there is a heaven. We understand that God is in heaven. We know that the Apostle Paul addressed in a dream that he had particular levels of heaven that he basically saw in this vision that he went through that he describes there in one of his epistles. So there's no question here, my friends, whether or not there is heaven. There is. God is there. Jesus Christ is at his right hand, sitting there on the sea of glass, surrounded by 24 elders, seraphim and cherubs all over. I mean, he is in that dimensional reality that we understand is his abode. It's his domicile, and it is in a different dimension, but wherever it is, it's called heaven. But here's the question. Is that the reward of the saved? That's the question I'd like to address. But before I go ahead and do that, let me go ahead and interrupt myself, as we usually do, and present to you an offer that we have today. And it's interesting, a very interesting offer, because it's a very large booklet. As a matter of fact, there are two parts to this booklet, and it's quite thick, as you can see there by the image that we have up on your screen. So we're offering this booklet today, and both parts 1 and 2 of this booklet, called Questions and Answers, and we're offering it only, though, as a download item. In other words, you can go to our website or download our app. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but we have an app that you can download onto your iPhones or your tablets and go to any app store, whether it's Amazon, Google, Apple, and get this app. It's such a simple means by which you can navigate through our website. And all you've got to do is go to our media location where our literature is listed and go down to the question and answer booklet. You'll find it there listed among many, many other booklets. As I say, hit us on our website at www.cgi.org and download this booklet. This booklet is so interesting, and it has so many additional questions that have come to us over the years that address areas such as questions from Genesis, salvation, death, heaven and hell, Sabbath and holy days, the church, the Bible, even prophecy, questions on prophecy, family and personal issues, cults and false doctrines, all kinds of categories, my friends, that get into specific questions with respect to those categories that I think you're going to find quite interesting if you take the time to download this onto your tablet or your iPhone and take opportunity to go ahead and read the answers on some of these questions that are there for your considerations. And actually, as I said before, there's part one and part two. So do take the time to look at both of them. They're thick booklets. I mean, these are comprehensive booklets with a lot of questions that we answer that will be helpful in your growth and inquiry and investigation about God's truth. Now, back to the program here. We've been talking about this question. The first question that I would like to address, is heaven the reward of the saved? Now, a lot of people believe it is. They really do. I mean, without a doubt. And the Bible indicates or gives, let's say, notions whereby one could come to that conclusion. For instance, over here, and I'm already turned there, just to give you an example of what I'm talking about, here in Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 1, we read, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven," notice that, "the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Over here in Matthew 4, just a page over, and in verse 17, we read Jesus. This is Jesus' words now stating this. In verse 17 of chapter 4, book of Matthew, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven," there you go again, "of heaven is at hand." And you move right along here, over here to chapter 5, just a column over in my Bible. And in verse 3, again, we read this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And you could go on and on, my friends, with respect to some of these particular scriptures that are indicative of this idea that, well, heaven is part of the kingdom, and consequently, it's logical to believe that, well, if you're a successful Christian in your walk with Christ, that that's going to be your reward. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 6 there, I'm not going to turn to it for the sake of time, but in Luke chapter 6, it even says that your reward is in heaven. So these ideas about heaven and the fact that the dot is connected by some of us in our minds based on traditional teachings that we've come across and been exposed to in our particular Christian denomination is an easy slide into understanding that, well, that must be, and this is the operative, I want to make this distinct, this is the operative, that is the reward, quote unquote, the reward of the saved, because that's the question that I want to really zero in on here, like laser beam sharp to this topic on whether or not heaven is the reward of the saved, because that is what is proposed and advanced so much so in so many denominations today, because frankly, that is just what it is thought to believe. Now, I could go through a lot of scriptures and essentially illustrate basically what I've just done here in the book of Matthew. I don't have the time to do that. But let me just say this. In every one of these scriptures that I have read, and I could go down into a couple of dozen of them, but in each one you will find that there is a commonality among them. The commonality is they always term it as the kingdom of heaven, indicating, of course, of where it belongs or where it's from or what it is. but it really doesn't have any association or indication or clear connection with basically drawing your attention exclusively or correctly or clearly that it is indeed the location of where your reward is going to be, that that is the place where you're going. And that's the point that I want to make, because all of these particular scriptures that I referenced that always say kingdom of heaven talk about just whose it is. That's what it's saying, basically, and or what it belongs to. So we have to move on a little bit here and segue to something that I think many of us in the Christian community understand, many of us embrace, many of us have accepted and believe and for all intents and purposes look to this as a future event, and that is we all understand that Jesus Christ is on a countdown from heaven, right? Your Bible's loaded with this information that Jesus Christ is going to return to planet Earth. Now, I don't think I'm going to get much of an argument from many of you regarding that. So with that as our framework and with that in our mind, going back to this question of whether or not heaven is the reward of the saved, you have to ask yourself, well, if that be the case, why is Jesus coming back to earth? Because that, too, is a legitimate and very valid understanding that so many of us Christians, and I understand there's some Christian denominations that don't make a big deal about that, and frankly, in some cases, don't even believe that Jesus is coming back to this earth. But that's beside the point. I don't have time to digress into that particular aspect. But I do want to address this fact that those of us who do believe and do understand that Jesus Christ is indeed coming back, you have to ask yourself, well, then why? Why am I going to heaven if that be the reward of the saved? And that's a legitimate idea to question in your mind as to how does that balance, how does that equate, how does that relate to these two ideas about Jesus coming back to earth and, of course, heaven being the reward of the saved. So with that in mind, my friends, turn with me over here to another scripture that I want to bring your attention to, and that's located over here in Matthew chapter 24. Now, in this case, Matthew 24, we see, and I'll just draw some context here, the disciples on the Mount of Olives with Jesus, and they're talking to him, and they're asking about the end times and signs about these end times. And in particular, notice this over here in verse 3, Matthew 24, we read this, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the cosmos, the end of the age, not the end of the physical world where it's going to blow up, but just the end of man's rule, the end of this particular era, this age of man's rule and Satan's influences? When is all this going to happen?" They asked Jesus in this particular case, and specifically wanting some answers over here. Interestingly enough, in a sister chapter of Luke 21, we're told this and characterized very interestingly, my friends. I want to bring your attention to this because this is an interesting characterization that seems to validate and certainly prove positive that Jesus is on a countdown from heaven and that he is fully intended to return to this earth and break into our dimension, our reality, and come back to this planet. Notice this, Luke 21, and over here, and in verse 28, we read this, "And when these things begin to come to pass," and that's all the things preceding in the scriptures listed there in Luke 21, which are signs of the times, the end times of preceding his return, we're told here by Jesus himself, he says, recorded by Luke, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up." All right, look up. You know, you look up. You're on earth. You're looking up. Why are you looking up? Because he's coming from the air. He's coming from the clouds. It says here, "Look up and lift up your heads." More specifically, look up and lift up your heads, for your salvation or your redemption draws near. So the indication here is, and the imagery you get, is that you're on earth and you're going to raise your head and look up because what? He's coming down. He's on a return. He's coming back. And where is he coming back from? He's coming back from the sky, from the clouds, from the air. And we have scriptures. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says, with a loud shout, and he shall descend. That means coming down from heaven. He's descending from where he was at and into our dimension and onto planet Earth and basically landing there. Revelation 19, for the sake of time, I'm just going to turn your attention over there, verses 11 through the end of that particular chapter. Revelation 19. Read it. You've got Jesus riding on a white horse with the armies of heaven coming back with him. And where's he? He's coming out of the clouds. He's descending down to the earth. And we're told in Matthew 24, I didn't turn there before, but I'll just reference it. I'm sure many of you are well familiar with these scriptures, where it says, every eye will see him. And as the earth turns, you can begin to understand the logic and the imagery of this. Every eye will see him as he's approaching the planet and looking like a lightning, like the sun, not like a lightning bolt. It means the lightning, like the sun rising in the east, setting in the west. That's the description you get there in Matthew chapter 24. And his reward, we're told, in this particular case, is with him. Oh yeah, my friends, go over here now to Revelation chapter 22 real quickly. I just want to bring your attention to this fact, because here Jesus, in the recorded words of the Apostle John as he received this revelation, we're told here in chapter 22 and verse 12, notice this, and behold, I come quickly, says Jesus. These are red letters in my Bible. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. That's right, he's coming back. His reward is with him. And what are we told and indicated by that? Well, we're indicated that immortality. Immortality is at that time able to be acquired and given out, because we're going to meet him in the air, as pointed out, as I've always already referenced, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as well as chapter 5 in the book of John. We're told that voices in the grave, but I'm digressing and I don't want to do that, but that's why I said you can see how some of this is information hub, an information hub of other subjects here on this particular question with regards to what is the reward of the saved, or is heaven the reward of the saved. But over here in John chapter 14, and this again indicates one more time, Jesus is actually coming to us. We're not going to him. Notice this in chapter 14 of the book of John. In verse 1, we read, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he says this, I will come again. In other words, he's preparing a place for us. The reward is in heaven. The preparation is being made in heaven by virtue of whatever he's doing through his intercessory priesthood. But notice the characterization here. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and when I am there, and I'm sorry, that where I am, there you may be also. And so here we see, he clearly says, he's coming to us. We're not going to him. He's coming to us, and where he will be is where we will be. And I don't have the time really to go into a lot of detail or reference these scriptures, because time is running on me and I want to get to another question. But with that being said, go to Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through about 9. You'll read a story there, or a narrative, that illustrates the end times and the fact of Jesus' return. And his feet, my friends, are landing on the Mount of Olives. And the reward that he promises you is listed there in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, as well as Revelation chapter 2, and I think over there in verse 26, if I'm not mistaken, which I will turn there real quickly, chapter 2, and I think it is verse 26 in this particular case, because it's very clear where he says this, "And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I'm going to give power over the nations." That's not in heaven, that's on earth. You have been called to become kings and priests, and you will reign on earth. Revelation 5, verse 10. Look it up, I'm not making these things up. So what is the reward of the saved? Is it heaven? No, my friends. Very clearly, plainly, your Bible is emphatic. It is planet earth. You're going to meet Christ in the air upon his return. You'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye as portrayed there in 1 Corinthians 15. And you will be landing on the Mount of Olives with Christ, and from there help him to reinstitute the government of God across the whole globe, whereby the law of God will penetrate and permeate the whole earth like the oceans cover the seabeds. That's what your Bible gives you in terms of imagery and picturesque formations, so that you can understand these things and have the proper concept of what is the reward of the saved. Because it's not heaven, my friends. You're not going there. If you do, Jesus is coming back. You're going to kind of pass two ships passing in the bay, as they would say, you know. So you're going to be planted on earth with Christ. And for 1,000 years, as pointed out there in Revelation chapter 20, you're going to rule and reign with Jesus in what's called a millennial rule for a time being. That's just the warm-up session, though. But with that being said, let me just clearly answer this question. The reward of the saved is planet earth. Now, let me take you to another question that came in, actually, to us some years ago, and of which I've noticed is still quite prominent on the internet. And that is this question about where the Bible describes the United States, or some have portrayed it as, does the Bible mention the United States? And frankly, there are, and it's sad, most have conceded to this fact, that the United States is not mentioned in your Bible. That's right, it's not mentioned in your Bible at all. And this concession has, for in many respects, basically blinded individuals to this truth. And the truth is that your Bible does indeed mention the United States of America. But sadly, because most people don't recognize that your Bible is, in essence, the story of one man's family. And it begins there, this side of the flood, in Genesis 12, where the promises are laid out there, given from God to Abram, whose name was not yet changed to Abraham, and provided a promise, a two-segmented promise, that he would become a great nation, and that through his seed all human beings would be blessed through his progeny. That's right, his name, his family. And we see that Abraham had sons, don't we? He had Isaac, and then Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons, later on, we find in the pages of your Bible as we proceed through the story of this one man's family that is understood to be Israel, Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, so it's synonymous when we hear the name Jacob that we are essentially associating ourselves with understanding about Israel. And he, in the blessings of his grandchildren, Manasseh and Ephraim, switched his hands there in chapter 48 of the book of Genesis, you know the story, and blessed them. And he blessed these two lads to become a great nation and a great company of nations. An interesting profile. Of course, we understand Jesus was a Jew, so that promise of the blessing of the progeny through Christ is fulfilled in Christ, the seed, as Paul properly says it there and describes it in Galatians, without a doubt. But that's not what we're talking about, because you see, one of the main reasons why most people do not see the United States in the Bible is simply because they do not make the distinction, important distinction, my friends, between the divided kingdom of Israel and Judah. Once you understand Israel was a divided kingdom for over 200 years, by the way. And four books in your Bible are dedicated to chronologically listing two lines of kings. Why, my friends, you then begin to bump up on some of the keys of how you can be led to understand the United States is indeed mentioned in your Bible. I mean, come on. The Bible talks about smaller nations. Why in the world would you not think that the greatest nation in the history of the world, as I've often characterized the United States, there isn't an empire in history that could stand up to the military prowess of the United States. I don't care whether it was Assyria, I don't care whether or not it was Babylon, whether it was the Persians, whether it was the Greco-Macedonians, Alexander the Great, whoever it may have been, and including, of course, Rome. They wouldn't stand a chance with their chariots and bows and arrows against some of the firepower and military, as I say, prowess that the United States has in terms of aircraft carriers and F-22s and, machine guns and automatic weapons and grenade launch. I mean, come on. So why wouldn't the Bible? Is the Bible that archaic? Is it that out of step with the future? Didn't God see these things? Isn't God prophetic? Isn't God the greatest prophet in the Bible? Well, of course he is. This book, my friends, is his script. It's his script. And to essentially denounce the fact that the United States is not mentioned in your Bible is just really selling God very short. So needless to say, I don't have a lot of time left here. It's run out on me. But I want to offer a second offer here. And that second offer is basically a five-part series on the evidence that the United States of America and Great Britain is indeed modern-day Israel. This is a five-part series, and again, you can catch it there on our internet. But go ahead and hit us on our website and download these, please. You can stream them right into your computer and listen to all 5 hours of this presentation that will give you evidence that the United States of America is, in fact, mentioned in your Bible. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.